Welcome to Nightlife, bite-sized travel.
Well, fingers crossed, soon we'll be able to get back to the Barossa Valley. Some of us can already, of course, but look, who wouldn't want to put a trip to the wine-producing region in South Australia on their list? I mean, arguably, well, not even arguably, the best wine in Australia comes out of the Barossa, doesn't it? At least with some varieties. You know what you're going to get when you visit the Barossa. Fine wine, fine food, beautiful scenery. Also experiences that aren't promoted that you can have. To take us round, travel writer Ute Juncker joins us this evening. Ute, good evening and welcome back to Nightlife.
Thanks, Phil. Great to be here.
Give us a general picture of the Barossa.
Look, the Barossa, first thing about the Barossa is the freeway has shortened the travel time. It's barely over half an hour now. You're in Adelaide and you're out there. And it's extraordinary. And we know, of course, that it's this place with these wonderful heritage wineries, and places like Seppeltsfield and Henschke do fantastic experiences. But the Barossa is one of those places that you can keep coming back to and sort of delving a little bit deeper and discovering the little townships you haven't gone to, the tiny cellar doors, the historic element of it. I mean, everyone sort of knows the Germans settled the Barossa, but what I hadn't appreciated until my last visit was they actually transplanted entire villages. It wasn't families. It was actual villages came out, and that starts to explain that really strong community sentiment they've got there, which I think makes it a really special place.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Of course, it's history. Tell us about the history of German settlement.
Well, it was so they'd surveyed the land and they'd worked out it was really a really good place to they saw it would be the fruit basket of the empire was the plan. And they needed workers. And one of the locals was telling me that apparently the agent for the person in charge, the head honcho, sort of came and said, okay, well, there's two populations that are where there's a lot of people that are dispossessed at the moment through difficult times and where we've got a big pool of labour available. And they said, there's a whole bunch of Germans who are having some issues, mm-hmm. and there's the Irish. For better or for worse, they went for the Germans. And so they were fleeing religious persecution,
right,
essentially.
Right.
They had particularly old-fashioned ideas about how God should be worshipped, yeah. And the Prussian emperor decided that wasn't the way God was going to be worshipped in the Prussian Empire. Thank you very much. They all trooped out in these villages, arrived in Adelaide, made the treks together, and you can still go and see the way these villages were laid out. It was all, I hesitate to say that it was all very Germanic. It was all very systematic in that it was like, okay, everyone has a plot this big. Everyone has the same amount of access to the fresh water. Hmm. Everyone gets this much. And one of my favourite things, which, again, I hadn't done till this trip, one of the winemakers actually showed me the ancient graveyards that are still dotted around from the original settlers.
Really?
So this is six generations ago. And so if you go somewhere like Korndorf, which is where Rockford Press is, that's one of the famous wineries there, there's this gorgeous little cemetery with these beautifully carved gravestones. And, of course, they're all carved in German because these people still considered themselves German. That's the language they spoke. That's
okay.
The language they worked in. That's the language they were buried in. And in this, in the way that the ribbons of things run through the area, I was out at Henschke, which, of course, does fabulous wines, and they actually have a fantastic new cellar door. I say new cellar door. It's in a 150-year-old building that was formerly a grain store, but it's a new cellar door. And we were trying the Julius, which is a rather nice Riesling. And it was explained to me that these, you know, there's the Cyril, there's the Julius. They like to name their wines after members of the family. And I said, oh, yeah, great Uncle Julius. He was actually a really good stonemason. And if you go to our cemetery, which is not far from their cellar door, she said, you can see the gravestones that Uncle Julius carved.
Wow.
So it's all woven together.
Wow. Okay. So these German villages are still there. What names are we talking about if you were up there and wanted to see some of these? What are the town names we're talking about?
Sadly, many of them aren't German anymore. So I like Korndorf because right. it's a good proper German name. Mm. But other villages, or basically all the little villages through the Barossa, started as German settlements. But okay. what's interesting, so some of them have names like Nuriupta, for instance, which is mm-hmm. an indigenous name. Now, that previously had a German name, but in the First World War, they changed it. They went, no, we can't be having the German names. And what's interesting is someone was enlightened enough to know, to go, wouldn't it be great if we had some indigenous names? But apparently they're not local indigenous names. They just found a list of indigenous names somewhere and went, oh, we'll use this.
Yes, I imagine the Germans would have copped it, wouldn't they, in the First World War and indeed the Second World War.
So I'm not sure what exactly happened in South Australia, but I know internment was common various places across the country, so I'm sure some of it happened there.
Let's talk about wine, because that's what the Barossa is famous for.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Well, there's beautiful scenery in the Barossa too, of a particularly Australian kind, isn't it?
If you love a bit of bush action, the Barossa is actually fantastic. I mean, the Kaiserstuhl Conservation Park, there's another good German name for you, is before it was a wine, it was a place. And that is utterly lovely. And you can go for a good long hike there. And if you come sort of early to mid-morning or later in the afternoon, you're going to be surrounded by mobs of kangaroos. It's really, really lovely. Or there's also, they've recently done a Barossa Trail that you can hike or walk that sort of goes through the entire region. I think it's 9 kilometres between Angaston and Tanunda. Does that sound like enough? Anyway, it's a good hike if you're up for it.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, let's talk about wine. I mean, the Germans, of course, came there and they knew certainly how to make wines. It's become, the Barossa has become famous for lots of different types of wines, but particularly for the full-bodied Shirazes, which many think are, you know, Australia's great contribution to wine worldwide. Some of the best ones in Australia come from the Barossa. You can pick from a range of cellar doors. Let's talk about some of the less commercial ones.
There's one that I love. We're heading back to Korndorf now. It's a little winery called Korndorf Creek. Sorry, I'm getting my German accent mm-hmm. on the creek. Korndorf Creek Farm Wines. Mm-hmm. And they only have about 8 hectares under vine, which is nothing. And they make 5 wines and they're all red. And they have this tiny little cellar door in this. Again, it's a really historic little place. So this ancient building that they've restored, and you go in and it's a young couple that runs it. One or the other of them will be there. You can settle down on the sofa and they'll have a chat with you. And they were the ones that sent me off to the graveyard, and they'll talk you through the history of the place. And beautiful wines, just fantastic. But the other thing that, well, there's two other things I love about the Barossa when it comes to wine tasting, and one of which is that there is this heritage element. So if you go somewhere like Seppelsfield, you can go and you can taste a fortified wine from the year of your birth.
Wow.
And that's not something you can do anywhere else in Australia that I'm aware. And, you know, they have these immense, if you want to go for a premium experience, they've got these aged wines that you can try. So that's really great. But, of course, the other thing that's happening there now, like in many other wine regions, is you've got other types of beverages coming in. So in the little village of Greenock, there's a little brewer happening. Seppelsfield, there is a fantastic gin distillery too, and they make a couple of gorgeous gins, but they have a Shiraz gin, which is always my favourite. And if you're in the Barossa, what else are you going to drink?
yeah, exactly. Look, lots of, I mean, you can spend, how long do you think you need to spend there? If you're interested in wine, you could spend weeks there, I imagine.
Oh, I mean, I think there's 80 wineries of which about 50 have cellar doors open.
Wow.
So as long as you'd like, I would say at minimum 2 days, preferably 3.
Yeah.
The upside of coming on a weekend, my thing is usually I advise people to avoid weekends when they can, but the Barossa Farmers Market on a weekend at Angaston.
Where's that? That's at Angaston, is it?
Angaston, and it's this huge shed of people who make the most fantastic things. But then there's also, you know, and there's the sort of the German sausages, and there's Greek bakers, and there's, oh, this bacon that was sensational. But they also have a great little table where, you know, if you've just got some apples that have fallen off your tree that you want to try and sell, you bring them along and put them on that little, you know, and there's usually a young kid or a grandpa who's minding the table and sort of keeping track of that. So again, it's that community feel that I really love about it.
Yeah. That's right. It's, and eating is, well, it's, eating is good there too, isn't it? It's a celebration of food as well as wine.
I reckon it's one of the best wine destinations in Australia for food. I mean, you've got the Beer family, obviously, who are doing their thing.
This is Maggie Beer you're talking about, yeah.
Yes. So her daughter Ellie has a restaurant called The Farm, which is sensational. There's well-known restaurants like Hentley Farm, who also, they're also a winery. They do fantastic wines and astonishing food. There's places like, so the most exclusive accommodation in the area is the Louise, which is a luxury lodge, and they have this very acclaimed degustation restaurant called Appellation. But they have recently opened a more casual diner called 375, where you can get the best burger you're going to have in a long time. You can get, you know, okonomiyaki, Japanese pancakes. You can get this really eclectic, casual sort of sharing kind of menu. And that's where all the locals go. So that has a fantastic atmosphere. Or there's places like David France Winery. They do a Friday night session with music and small nibbles and things. So it's very much in a way that we've seen in cities around Australia, you know, where young people are finding their own spin on things. You see that happening in the Barossa as well. And I think it's because it's that thriving community where everyone tries to support each other.
Of course, yeah. No, exactly. No, it's a wonderful place, and look, easily accessed from Adelaide too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a really quick drive now, especially with the new motorway. So take your 2 nights, 3 days, 2 wineries a day, bit of walking, bit of eating, bit of going to the local outlet of the jam factory where the artisans do all their work, bit of shopping, you know, you get a bit of cemetery visit because, you know, what's a trip out without a cemetery visit? It really is more than just a wine destination.
Sure. No, exactly. Ute, thanks for taking us there.
Thanks, Phil.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.